Let's turn in God's Word once again to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 through 7. And we'll read also in John's Gospel chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 5, first, verses 1 through 7, then John 15, 1 through 8. God's people, let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, again, we're thankful for how you speak to us. You have not removed your word from us, but have given it to us. And Father, we pray now that you would grant us that knowledge, understanding, and wisdom of your word. We pray that your name would be praised even in your Son, Jesus Christ, who is that administrator of the covenant of grace, even now, working to administer the gospel unto us today. And that you would grant to us ears to hear and eyes to see the truth, and even your Son, our Savior, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. These are God's words. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry. Those are God's words. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 1, these also are God's words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And those are God's words. We are, again, studying covenant theology. I think everybody here knows this, which we have, if we break that down, we could say is how the Lord has laid out the very big picture of the entirety of the Scriptures to us as He's revealed Himself to us and His plan. And as He's revealed Himself to us, He's revealed Himself to us in and through manifesting His Son Jesus Christ to us. And through His making a covenant with His people. And we're studying the covenant of grace, that covenant that the Lord made with His people after the fall of man into sin, with Adam and Eve, as they broke that covenant of works, that covenant of life, and we in union with Adam have broken that even from conception. And so we have learned, first, the substance of the covenant of grace. That the covenant the Lord makes with His people, shown forth in Scripture, is in substance one covenant of grace throughout. That there is one way of salvation to be saved from your sins. You must repent and believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation. And then last Lord's Day, we began looking at the administration of the covenant of grace. And how is the covenant of grace administered? How does it come to us? And we looked, you remember, at the first administrator and then the object of the covenant of grace. Jesus Christ is the administrator. He has charge of purchasing through His life and His death all the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace. And then, because He's done so already, He is now the honor of distributing those benefits and those blessings, bestowing them on all that the Father has given to Him, all the elect of God. And Christ, as the administrator of the covenant of grace, administers it outwardly to all people everywhere, without exception, through the preaching of the gospel, which is happening at this very time for all of us. And so that this very evening, if you want to be recipient of all the blessings and benefits of the covenant of grace in Jesus Christ, the offer is again freely given to you. That you must come unto the Savior Jesus Christ for salvation and for eternal life. And so then, having looked at the administrator, Jesus Christ, and the free offer of the gospel to all sinners, without exception, which is the object of this administration of the covenant of grace, as Christ administers the covenant externally, outwardly to all people. And yet we heard and acknowledged that to the elect only is the administration of the covenant effectual. Does it actually work and saves people? Only of the elect. As Jesus, being the administrator, is the surety of the covenant. That is, He takes the place and He represents us. Now this evening we turn in our investigating of the administration of the covenant of grace to another part of that administration, and that is to look at the purpose of the administration of the covenant of grace. What is the purpose? What is the goal? What is the purpose? The purpose of the administration of the covenant. The purpose for which Christ administers the covenant of grace is in three things. Is in bringing of sinners personally, really, truly, into the covenant, first off. And secondly, managing of them who are already instated in the covenant. And then thirdly, unto the completion of their blessing in eternity. The first part of that, the purpose of the administration of the covenant of grace, and Christ being the administrator who brings it. The first part, the first purpose, is to bring sinners personally and really into the bonds of the covenant. Bringing sinners personally and really into the bonds of the covenant. Isaiah 49. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob again to Him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. It was Christ who was sent to serve as the administrator to bring in those who had treacherously departed from Him in their sins and rebellion, in their breaking of the covenant of works, that first covenant before the fall into sin. And though the covenant of grace was settled from all eternity, long before anyone and we were ever created or born or had done good or evil, thinking of like Jacob and Esau in Romans 9. And yet what is and has been true is that any sinners receiving of this covenant by faith shall be admitted into the covenant. All who receive this covenant by faith are admitted into the covenant. John 3, he says at the very end of John 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so in the free offer of the gospel that we heard last Lord's Day, to all sinners without exception, any who believe on Christ may occupy a place in the covenant under Christ who is the head, and by Christ alone, made personally, joined together in covenant with Jehovah, with the promised blessing of eternal life. So friends, today you need to know that there is room enough for you in the covenant. There is room enough for you in the covenant under the infinitely great name of Jesus Christ, who is the King and the administrator of this covenant. For every sinner of mankind, there will be, who are Christians, we know, there will be daily those who come unto the Lord by saving faith and receive all the benefits of the covenant of grace truly. And yet, every day, there's still more room. There's still more room for people to come into the covenant. Luke 14, Jesus says, giving them this account, he says, so that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. There is room still. There's room for you, friends. The mediator, Jesus Christ, was authorized as the administrator to plead with sinners, to plead with rebels who are against the Lord and citizens of Satan's kingdom, in order to storm the gates of Hades, as we prayed, to bring them to the Lord, and for the purpose to administer the covenant to them by proposing to them and gathering them into the promise of the covenant. Consider then how zealous and earnest Jesus as the administrator is in his duty. Think of Matthew 23. How zealous and earnest he is as our administrator, the administrator of the covenant of grace. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He's pleading for the Jews to come unto him. He's wanting them to come, even though they killed the prophets, his very messengers who brought forth that gospel message of the covenant to the peoples, to the sinners, without exception. And so the first purpose of Jesus as administrator of the covenant of grace is to bring sinners personally into the covenant of grace. The second purpose of Jesus as administrator of the covenant of grace is to manage, to administer, to be the administrator over them, to manage those who are already in the covenant of grace while they continue in this world, in this life. What a great comfort this is for all who are His today on earth, still breathing, that when we repent of our sins and we believe on Christ for our salvation, that we are not left to ourselves, that we are not left to fend for ourselves or to manage ourselves, but we have Jesus Christ, the King and the head of the church, who serves and continues to sovereignly manage us. Who is Christ? This whole thing is shown in 1 Peter 2. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. The first purpose, bringing sinners in, returning them, right? He returns in 1 Peter 2, but are now returned. He brings them in, he returns them. But now presently the second purpose, managing. He's the Shepherd and Bishop, the overseer, the elder of your souls. Today, if you're a Christian, if you truly believe on Christ for your salvation, He is your shepherd. And He is your bishop. He is your elder. He is your overseer. And so that means what? It means that whatever we need, we must receive it from His hand. Whatever blessings you hope to enjoy, He is to dispose them to you at the proper time. If you want to be justified, He must pronounce the sentence. Matthew 9. And behold, they brought to Him a sick man of the palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith He to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed from the house. Jesus forgives sins. He justifies people. You want to be adopted? Do you want to be brought into the family of God, of Jehovah? John 1 verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Do you need to be washed and cleansed and sanctified? Well, Jesus, as the administrator, is commissioned in Ephesians 5. When Paul teaches us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. In Acts 5, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel. He gives repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Well, do you need comfort? Isaiah 51. Even I, am He that comforteth you. That's Jesus, the administrator of the covenant of grace. Do you need to be upheld, even to persevere? John 17. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. And so all the managing, the care of these souls, our souls, has been given to the administrator, Jesus Christ, of the covenant of grace. He is the greater than Joseph. Right? Think of Joseph when he was empowered by Pharaoh as the second in command over all the grain, right? And during the famine, he had all the stores of all the food. And Jesus is the greater than Joseph, who has all the stores of the covenant in His hand. Just as Pharaoh said to those experiencing famine who were crying for bread, He said, go unto Joseph. Go unto Joseph. And so the Father says unto us, go unto Jesus. Go unto Jesus. Friends, today if you are to receive commands, guidance, direction, counsel concerning your duty, go unto Jesus. What did the Father say? He has given a solemn charge unto you. Matthew 17. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him. Exodus 23. He even warns. He says, beware of Him and obey His voice. Speaking of the cloud that went ahead of God's people in the wilderness, which was, we know, Jesus Christ. The first purpose is to bring sinners into the covenant. The second purpose is to manage and care for those souls who are in the covenant. And the final purpose is to bring all those souls unto complete blessing in the world to come, into heaven and to glory. Ephesians 5 again. He said that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. There in heaven, in that heavenly country Abraham looked forward to, all the promises of the covenant of grace are fully accomplished. And this is why heaven is so good. That's why heaven is so good. That passage from one world, this world, to another, which is glorious, is very dangerous and gloomy. It comes through the death to the body. One theologian said, who can, without terror and trembling, think of the cold and deep waters of the Jordan of death and of the gloomy mansions of the grave? And yet you should know, Christian, that Christ, as the administrator of the covenant of grace, has duty on both sides and in the middle, if we could put it that way. He has duty on both sides and in the middle. The line of the covenant, if we were to make a linear line from this life to the next life, the line of the covenant extends right through death, and it forms a path by which the ransomed of the Lord, that is God's people, ransomed of Jesus Christ, safely pass on through. And there you see the administrator of Jesus Christ in this covenant. What a great word from Revelation 1. It says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus Christ has the keys of hell and of death. Perhaps you haven't thought about this yet. That Christ carries us home. How? As the administrator of the covenant of grace. It's not as though he's on the far side, if we were to think of that great illustration of the Jordan River, and Israel's on one side and that heavenly country foreshadowed is on the other, the land of flowing with milk and honey is on the other. And we have to cross that Jordan, death, to get to the promised land. The wilderness is this life, struggles, pains. But it's not as though Jesus is on the far side, on the other side of the river, pointing to the dying believer. How to direct his course, and that he's just over there, ready to receive you as soon as you make it to the other shore. No. By no means is that the administrator, the king, and head of the church, Jesus Christ. It is that very duty he has been commissioned unto as the administrator to go into the water, to cross to the shore that you're on, that we are on. It is his very duty to save the sinner and then holding him up, carrying him across the river to the other side, all the way home. And so that we have the promise. Think of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think of John 14. We were in Sabbath school this morning. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Right? He's on the other side. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Right? He promises, I will come at that point. Even at your last breath, I will come and get you. And I'll bring you home. Praise God. Remember the time that Israel crossed the Jordan into Canaan. Who went before them? It was the Ark of the Covenant. Right? The Ark of the Covenant was the first in the water. The very presence of God. The flow of the water, what happened? It ceased. Just like at the Red Sea. The water ceased as the Lord held the waters back. And in the same way, our Savior, the administrator of the covenant of grace, will have full business to do in all His elect's passing, His people's passing from between this world and the next. And He will continue this work until every last elect soul is landed safely on the other side in glory. And there in glory, He will administer the covenant to them as well. Completing for eternity, forever, that blessedness by a perfect accomplishment of all the promises of the covenant to them. All right, Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's not only the author, but he's the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ has performed the conditions of the covenant and his active and passive obedience, perfect righteousness. And so he endured the cross, despising the shame. He is the author of our faith, right? Even now. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. But thankfully, Jesus is also the finisher of our faith. He's the perfecter of our faith. And so having sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, he so bestows the crown on them. For they will reign with him, the crown of glory that fadeth not away, placed upon the heads of all those who are in union with Jesus Christ, more than conquerors, victorious in him, the administrator of the covenant of grace. Think of 2 Timothy 4. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so, friends, the Lord will continue to administer the covenant of grace to all the elect, not only unto the entrance into glory, but for all eternity, remaining forever in union with all those who are his. These are the purposes of the administration of the covenant of grace. It's clearly seen that the purposes of Christ's administration are unto the elect only. His primary purpose as administrator of the covenant of grace is to bring all those that the Father has given to him, the elect, unto glory. To be with him, communing with him forever and ever. That's the purpose of Christ's administration. That all the elect who are the more special, not of themselves but in Christ alone, internal, efficacious. They are the efficacious. They are the successful object of Christ's administration. And yet for their sakes, the sakes of the elect, the administration of the covenant of grace, that it is administered externally. So all for the purpose of the elect being brought from this life to the next, it is all brought out externally before all, without exception. To all sinners, the gospel is for the people who he has called elect from all eternity to bring them home. In order to promote and further the salvation of all the elect unto the glory of Jehovah in that great salvation. For this you can see a clear sense as we consider the scriptures that Christ's administration of the covenant of grace is always, always, always focused on the elect. All those who have, are, and will turn unto him in true saving faith from their sins to be saved forever and receive the benefits and the blessings both now and forever. And yet, as we considered last Lord's Day, first of all, that Christ's administration is also unto, externally, unto all sinners without exception by way of the free offer of the gospel. And so many peoples hear and are offered salvation in Christ alone if they would just repent and believe. And those who are not of the elect but all offered salvation freely in Christ alone are also recipients themselves of the administrative work of Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace externally. And that's why you see in the scriptures, and we're going to go over those scriptures later, another time. You see in the scriptures that those who do not believe, who are God's covenant people outwardly, administratively, all the people in the church, they have blessings unto them. They have privileges given to them. And yet, in the end, they remain and turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they can receive certain benefits on earth only. Only on earth. But not eternally. Externally, but not inwardly. And so to summarize, friends, as we have been doing, summarize, friends, the purpose of Christ's administration of the covenant of grace is focused entirely on bringing sinners personally into the covenant of grace, managing those who are brought in, who have been brought in already to the covenant of grace, and praise God, bringing to completion the happiness, the blessing of all the elect forever and ever unto glory. And so as we considered that distance and the path from this life unto glory, we heard for the elect, there is an administrator, Jesus Christ, who carries them from this life to the next, who stops that destructive force of an eternity of death to bring the perfected one in Christ, the elect, the perfected one in Christ into the land of Canaan, that heavenly country Abraham looked forward to. But consider today, if you don't have Christ as your administrator on that day of your last breath, and the currents of death are pouring down that Jordan River, right? The currents of death pouring down, no one to stop the current. What will you do? What will stop the current of death for you for all eternity? Well, you're called this evening by the promise of the Almighty God and His Son Jesus Christ to turn from all of your sins to the Savior in Jesus Christ. He alone can save you from that deathly current, an eternity of deathly current and damnation. He said again, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life." You won't make it to the other side if you believe not. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Would you not rather have the administrator, Jesus Christ, bear you up across the Jordan to glory forever to be showered with infinite and eternal blessings and benefits and perfect communion with Jehovah forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Wouldn't you rather have that? Or would you desire to face death square on? What happens when you walk into a flood? You're taken. You can't stop it. You can't hold yourself up. Are you going to face death square on and see if you'll survive or not? You'll die. There's only one choice. There's only one logical choice, one wise choice, one blessed choice to look unto Jesus to be for you the author and finisher of your faith. As it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He, the great administrator of the covenant of grace, we would exclaim, may he be exalted forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. We're thankful that he is our administrator who brings us into the covenant, who manages us, who holds us up, who shepherds us, who is overseeing us in every step to sanctify us and to perfect us unto glory, who will bring us and carry us over the great flood of death, the destructive forces of death, from this side unto glory forever. We pray that you would turn our hearts unto you today in Christ your Son, and that he would be exalted forever. We pray in his name. Amen.